Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker. It's always interesting on the show, isn't it, Steve? Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah,
yesterday,
for me.
Maybe not so much.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday?
Yeah, that's February. That's what happened.
Yeah. We got a great guest on with us right now. He's a staff writer at ESPN that covers the NFL. He's the host of the Bill Barnwell Show podcast. He's been with ESPN for the last 8 years. Happy to have our friend Bill Barnwell on the line with us, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Hello, Bill. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. How are you doing? You getting through February okay?
Hey, guys. I'm hanging in there. I've managed to avoid most of the bad weather. Hope you guys are doing well, of course.
Yeah, we're doing good. Now, one of the things that happened during the week, and we're you know, kind of in the radio business talking about NFL, you kind of wait for stuff like this to happen. Joe Flacco, former NFL, former Super Bowl MVP, got traded to Denver. How do you grade that trade?
I don't love it for the Broncos, and I'll tell you why. I think Joe Flacco, obviously, we know what he can do. We saw him in that Super Bowl run several years ago. It's been a long time, though. It's been 5 or 6 years now, and he's been an adequate player at best over the course of that contract. And so from the Broncos' perspective, is he an upgrade on Case Keenum? Yeah, probably very slightly, but there's not a high ceiling there unless you're thinking he can be the guy he was 5 or 6 years ago. And I think he has to be in the perfect situation for that. Denver's not the perfect situation. And then the issue is that he's going to cost $18 million, I believe, in base salary on their cap this year. Broncos don't have a ton of cap space. They have some key free agents, Matt Paradise being the most notable one, their star center. And cutting Case Keenum is going to add $10 million to their in dead money to their cap this year. So they're going to be paying a lot of money for a situation that might not be appreciably all that much different than the quarterback room they had a year ago.
In a post you wrote about that trade, Bill, you gave the Broncos a grade, a letter grade of, D+, I guess. And you also had some interesting things to say about the guy who pulled the trigger for the Denver Broncos, John Elway. What do you make of Elway's repeated attempts and essentially failure so far to find and identify a quarterback for that team?
This is the tough part for me, right? Because I think about John Elway, he should know everything. He's a genius. He's incredible. He was a great player for a long time. Obviously, very smart guy, successful in business, successful with the Broncos, won a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, he's made a lot of great decisions over the course of his tenure with Denver. And if anyone should know what they're talking about when it comes to getting quarterbacks, it should be John Elway. But you look at what's happened with him. He drafted Brock Osweiler, and then he tried to re-sign Brock Osweiler, but was outbid by the Texans. I think the Broncos bid about $12 or $13 million a year in free agency on Brock Osweiler. He ended up going to the Texans. Obviously, did not work out there. Traded up to draft Paxton Lynch in the first round. Paxton Lynch turned out to be a majorly poor decision. Is no longer, I believe, on any NFL roster at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. Cut after 2 years by the Broncos. Trevor Siemian, their seventh-round pick, he was okay, I think it's fair to say. And then traded for Case Keenum, and that did not work out super well. So he's had an affinity in general, Keenum aside, for very tall quarterbacks. He's gone after guys like Paxton Lynch, is, I think, 6'7", in that range. Brock Osweiler, again, in that range, 6'7", 6'8". Joe Flacco, 6'6", so it's not surprising they would go after Joe Flacco. But I just, you know, at this point, I don't know that you need that sort of archetypical, really tall, traditional quarterback in the modern NFL.
And one more question about that trade that I have for you, Bill. What does the trade say about the Baltimore Ravens, and in particular about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think obviously they're going to go at Lamar Jackson going forward. You don't trade up for a guy in the bottom of the first round if you don't think he's a viable starter. Obviously, the Chargers game was a mess. He did not look good in that game. The offense didn't really have a plan B for when the running game got slowed down. But I think he has the entire offseason to practice, get some reps with the ones. They can work on that scheme, work on their familiarity, and sort of playing things off of what they showed last year. And I think they're going to go out and get a backup who can fit in that scheme if Lamar Jackson struggles or if he gets injured. I think Tyrod Taylor, someone who played that scheme, of course, when Greg Roman and when Tyrod Taylor were both in Buffalo, makes total sense as a backup there. He's going to be a free agent, so it wouldn't surprise me if they went out and signed Tyrod Taylor and had him as the backup to Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Well, one of the things that everybody's doing now is pointing towards all these teams and the changes they're going to make in the offseason. How do you, and you look at the Buffalo Bills here where we sit, How do you think they're going? I mean, they've got a lot of cap space, got a lot of draft picks, and last year they really wrangled their way up the draft ladder in order to get Josh Allen. They made a lot of moves, draft day trades. In fact, you said they were some of the most impactful draft day trades. They made your list for the most impactful draft day trades last year. How do you think they're going to attack this offseason?
Well, I think they've been building up to this offseason for a couple of years now, right, Steve? You think about all the moves they've made over the last two seasons were about, number one, clearing out cap space, getting rid of some of the contracts for guys in years past that they didn't really think were very effective, and they've been pretty successful doing that. They went out and got their quarterback. Josh Allen, obviously, still a work in progress. I think even Bills fans would say showed some promising games. I think week 17, he was very good in the final game of the season. Obviously excellent as a scrambler and as a runner. Accuracy, a big thing coming from out of school, still an issue, I think, at the pro level, but still obviously extremely early to say. I think this offseason is about getting the pieces around Josh Allen. You know, they're going to have to add receivers. Offensive line is going to be a point of contention for them. The defense was excellent. This is the second-ranked defense in football by DVOA, which is my favorite stat for evaluating team performance. They were excellent defense, and they could be a playoff team if that offense takes a step forward. So I think at this point, you're hoping that if you can get the right people around Josh Allen and he takes a step forward in year two, suddenly this could be a very competitive football team.
Bill, let me see if I can get you to dive into our discussion today about the Bills, because we talk about them every day here, 5 days a week, and we know this is an important offseason. 10 draft picks, tons of money to spend in free agency, and a lot of needs to fill. We know that about this year's Bills. But we're wondering, was last offseason more important to the Bills to identify, to maneuver them in the draft and to eventually draft and start to develop that quarterback, that potential franchise quarterback? Was last offseason more important than this one for the Bills, or vice versa? What do you think?
I would say vice versa. And I think your point about going out and getting a quarterback, that is the most important part of any rebuild. Of course, that makes total sense. But last year, it was almost like the Bills were playing with house money, you know, where they were in a rebuilding season and they were going to, you know, they were making moves in the middle of the year saying, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs this year. We're going to try and build for the future. And then they kind of just snuck into the postseason. It was almost like they didn't think it was going to happen. And then it happened. And, of course, obviously, yeah, you lose in the postseason. That's a bummer. But I think, obviously, Bills fans had every reason to be excited last offseason about this team. And so they kind of were in that playoff glow. They didn't really expect to kind of make these moves. They were still in a rebuilding process. So it was sort of a, like I said, playing with house money last year. I think this offseason, they have to be better. I think realistically, if they don't hit some of these moves this offseason, if they don't go out and get those weapons for Josh Allen, we're going to be sitting here in the 2020 offseason saying, hey, you know, Sean McDermott's done a good job with the defense. Brandon Bean's done a good job of clearing out that cap space. But when are they actually going to turn into tangible young players to build around this quarterback and build around this team? And I think that, you know, they have to hit on some of those moves to make this team, you know, sort of feel like they're taking a step forward going into 2020.
Yeah, and we talk about what they have to do, and that's pick players now. And we look up the free agent market coming up is just around the corner. The Bills have a lot of cap money to spend. What veteran players out around the National Football League do you see that maybe could use a change of scenery?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, some people that make sense for the Bills could be someone like a Tyrell Williams, for example, where you have Josh Allen. You know he can throw the ball anywhere on the football field, 40, 50, 60 yards downfield, not a problem for his arm. So let's get him a threat that's going to be able to stretch the football downfield. And Robert Foster came on the second half of last year, did a very impressive job. I think he's, you know, kind of one of the guys you're going to build around on that receiving core. And then you add someone like a Tyrell Williams, you know, someone who's a big body, someone who's going to be able to go catch those jump balls and sort of scare teams away from putting that second safety in the box and sort of challenging that running game, could really open up your offense in a lot of different ways. Like, could see them going after, you know, a downfield threat, whether it's signing someone like Tyrell Williams or trading for someone like a Kenny Stills, for example, or if the Dolphins are rebuilding and they don't need, a receiver making $8, $9 million a year, hey, even it makes total sense for what Buffalo's trying to do on offense. So could see them going in that direction, maybe adding some help at tight end with Charles Slay's contract running out in the next couple of years. So certainly some options there in terms of adding pieces around Josh Allen.
Off-season moves are always going to be interesting. And the Giants, I think, surprised people not drafting a quarterback last year. You've written a little bit, I believe, about Eli Manning and suggested that maybe the Giants will be ready or should be ready at least to move on from Eli Manning. What do you make of that this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's about the time. You know, I just think we're getting to the point where, you know, they drafted Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley had just about the best year they could have hoped for. and that wasn't enough to propel this offense forward. They tried to make investments on the offensive line. Nate Solder, former Patriots tackle, really struggled in his first season. Right side of the line was with Eric Flowers and Patrick Omame, who this time from the Jags. Both those guys were back on the Jags by the end of the season. So, you know, I think at some point you have to say, okay, well, it's not the running back. We have a number one receiver in Odell Beckham. We have a number one tight end in Evan Engram. We've invested in the offensive line. Well, what's left? I mean, at some point it has to be Eli's fault. And I think obviously, you know, he has struggled here and there. I thought the numbers looked good last year, but so much of that was just checking down, you know, taking easy yards. And you can do that to some extent, but they weren't in situations where the Giants were actually, you know, materially moving the football downfield. It was a lot of throwing the ball on third and long for short gains and a lot of throwing the ball when other teams were up by two or three scores and didn't need to really press on defense. So I think I would look into Case Keenum if I were the Giants. I would think about drafting Dwayne Haskins with a sixth pick if I was the Giants. I think they have to at least explore their options and not sit here and depend upon Eli Manning as their 16-game plug-and-play starter in 2019.
What do you think, what person, or is there one, do you think is going to be the first player picked in the NFL draft?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one, right? Yeah, I always feel like, you know, at this time of the year, I always feel like we're talking about defensive players or offensive linemen. We're always talking about guys who are not quarterbacks. And then you get to March, you get to April, and then it becomes a quarterback. And I think with the Cardinals, you know, they need defensive help. Obviously, I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback. I don't know that I buy the idea they're going to trade Josh Rosen and draft Kyler Murray, even though I think it would be a really exciting thing. It'd be really impressive and, you know, a very sort of brave thing to do. I don't know if it would be smart necessarily, but I could see them trading down to a team like the Giants, for example, who think they want to go out and get their quarterback. Or you look a little further in the draft, maybe even the Dolphins, where they want to rebuild. They start with that quarterback and trade from 13 to 1 to go up and get a Dwayne Haskins. I could see them making that sort of move to get ahead of the Raiders. But if I had to pick a guy right now, I think I would say Nick Bosa. I think if it's the Cardinals, you know, you get Nick Bosa, you surround him with Chandler Jones, suddenly you have a dominant pass rush. And I think that's a great building block. If you don't have that quarterback yet, and obviously they're still on develop Josh Rosen, I think the best thing to get after that is a dominant pass rusher. And having two of those guys, that could really transform your team on the defensive side of the ball, create a lot of short fields, and give your offense some opportunities to score without having to march the ball 60, 70, 80 yards down the field at a time.
Hey, Bill, before I let you go, I've got a two-part question for you about the Alliance of American Football one weekend. What did you think of the Alliance, and what do you think of it now as in a potential development ground for NFL talent? And secondly, any thoughts at all on the report out today about Colin Kaepernick and the fact that there was interest in him at the Alliance? What do you make of those issues?
I mean, with Colin Kaepernick, it makes total sense to me that they go out and reach for him. I think he's the best quarterback out on the free agent market who doesn't currently have a job. And so I'm not surprised at the same time. Colin Kaepernick would sit there and say, hey, I know that if I go play for the AAF, that's going to attract ratings, it's going to sell jerseys, I'm going to be a big part of what they're doing. So hey, I deserve a good amount of money. And I you know, do I think he really wanted to go play in the AAF? No, but being honest with you, I don't think he did. But I think, you know, he knows he's going to be worth a lot of money to any league like this, whether it's the XFL or the AAF, that wants to bring in a quarterback because he's the biggest name available on the free agent market and the best player available right now in the moment when it comes to quarterback play. In terms of the AAF, I was excited. I think we saw a lot of fun stuff, and I think we're going to see some really interesting opportunities develop for some of these players as the season goes on, because I think in the NFL, we always overestimate players' chances of succeeding, or sorry, underestimate until they actually get on the field. You think about someone like a Kurt Warner, for example, where, you know, look at him on paper. He was a guy who was playing in NFL Europe. He was a backup. And then the moment he got on the field, he was an MVP for the Rams. I mean, there might not be another Kurt Warner, you know, lurking on the bottom of rosters playing in the AAF, but there are going to be guys who are viable NFL players who just need that opportunity, whether it's that they're too small, whether they don't have that sort of pedigree you'd expect from a different team. I think there's going to be opportunities for those guys to impress, and I think I'm really excited to see how those players perform in the weeks to come in the AAF.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Bill, thanks. It's good to reconnect with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.